to those that are here this morning. Praise the Lord for you being here with us. Turn to Mark chapter 1, please. Mark chapter 1 this morning. Mark chapter 1. We're going to read these verses, and then I'm going to preach for a while, and then we're going to come back to these verses, all right? So just to let you know what's happening, right? You're thinking, what's happening? We'll tie it in. Mark chapter 1, and let's go ahead and start reading in verse number 23. Verse 23, Jesus is here. We'll kind of pick up where we are in verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Let's go ahead and pray this morning, ask God's blessing on the message. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, I ask that you would bless now this time. Lord, bless those that have come. Bless the words that come out of my mouth. I pray your Holy Spirit would take them and mold them, Lord, into what you would have for your people here today. Lord, that the attitude, my attitude would be correct in preaching this message and how it comes across. And Lord, I just thank you for being good to us. I thank you that you are our God. I thank you for offering salvation as a free gift and Lord, promising to save those that call upon you. And Lord, I pray if there is anyone here, Lord, today that's not saved, that doesn't understand salvation fully, Lord, that they would take a moment and ask somebody a question, Lord, and Lord, understand the importance of the decision for eternity in Christ. And Lord, thank you again for your kindness, Lord. I pray that you would increase and that I would decrease in the sight of your people, but that this morning we would be to lift up your name and have our eyes lifted up towards heaven, Lord, that you would speak to us plainly. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I paused this message to do something I forgot. To tell you that there is a new calendar in the back. All right. Advertisement, you know, you're used to commercials, okay? So advertisement here in the back. And as well, also to just remind you that Pastor Aaron does turn 30 on Thursday. We're not going to sing happy birthday or anything today, but he turns 30 on Thursday. And so that means he doesn't accept anything less than $30 or more for his birthday. And because I say that, I get 5%. All right. So that's what happens. But amen. So Pastor's birthday coming up this Thursday. But all right, let's get back into it. Let's dive back in. Right. So here we are in the passage. And of course, we see Jesus Christ healing the unclean spirit, driving the unclean spirit out of the man. And in verse number 27, the Bible says, "And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him.'" I want to preach a message this morning titled, "Amused or Amazed?" Amused or amazed? This world is obsessed with amusement, if you didn't know that. This world, the flesh, is obsessed with being amused. There was a movie actor that made $100 million for one role in a Hollywood movie. $100 million. Highest grossing comedian last year in 2024 from his shows and sales and everything, made over $80 million to stand up and tell jokes. The highest paid athlete in 2024 made over $275 million last year. We're not talking like a long-term contract. We're talking last year he made that much money. How is that possible? Because people pay a lot of money to be amused. People are obsessed with it. They're obsessed with just being amused, just having someone just amuse them and humor them. Listen, the root of amuse or amusement is the word muse, M-U-S-E. It means to ponder or to think closely or to be in deep thought. That's what muse means. And muse is a Bible word. In Psalm 143, verse 5, David says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. That's what David said. David said that he would ponder and he would think closely and he would go into deep thought about the work of God's hands and the things that God had done. That's what he would muse on. But to amuse is the opposite. To be amused is the opposite of deep thought. But that means to detain or to engage attention agreeably. That's what it means to be amused, is someone else is going to do all the work and the thinking for you, and you just get to sit and be amused by somebody else. I like sports as much as the next guy, maybe more. And it's amusement. And but when we think about what it is, we sit there and you just watch it. And you get done and you go, whew, I think I got dumber. I think that's what happened. You know, you see something on TV or whatever, comedians, yeah, sure, it's fun to laugh. It's a good time to laugh, but you get done and you think, all right, we did that. Right? But it's not a lot of brain activity going on. People want someone else to do the work so that they can watch or listen without interaction or without engagement. That's what people like to do. That's what people like to do. They feel like they earn it. They feel like I go out and I work hard or I do this or I'm part of this. And so I just want to be amused. Then often after the amusement, they criticize based on an opinion without involvement. That's what happens. Not only that, but we've been taught by marketing and by Amazon that everything that we do pay for, it should meet our every expectation, every whim, everything I deemed it would be, or we refund it, or we have to exchange it, or we write some scathing review, right? I mean, you've probably been on Amazon before, and you try to look at the reviews. You can't really trust the reviews, because you find out that people just don't have any idea what they're buying. You ever see that? You ever see that on there? It's like, I'm going to buy a mixer, but it is terrible at playing my favorite tunes. You know, like, I'm going to buy this other thing, but man, it's the worst because it doesn't do the other thing that I thought it might do. Right? I mean, you understand when you read reviews and when you sell a product or when you have something, you can't control the intelligence of those buying it. You can't do that. So you're going to be at a negative. You know, the company with the best return policy or the most 5-star rating surges in popularity. Right? Products labeled most bang for your buck become bestsellers. Why? Because it's all about the customer. It's all about the customer. It's all about the consumer. It's all about what are you going to do for me? And the world is just obsessed with being catered to and just obsessed with being amused and amuse me. And we'll come in and we'll just shake around some loose change and we'll say, do something for me. Everything is just a court jester to us, and just amuse us and let us have fun. Unfortunately, the idea has crept into churches. This idea of now churches are trying to compete with the world's amusement. You find churches that bring in special lights and they bring in special effects and they bring in carnal music and they dumb down all standards and those standing up in the podium or the lectern or whatever they want to call it, the pulpit, is casual dressed and everything to make people comfortable and to make people happy in their amusement. And the going to church experience is going to have to meet a standard of amusement for me, or else that's not the place for me. It's just a place where we can go, but we don't have to pay tickets. And we can go there and we can scratch the religious itch and we can be entertained and we can have people do things so that we can just come in and sit and have this experience done for us. And then we can leave and go about our day. Amen. Everything in the service is catered to appease to the people sitting in the chairs or in the pews. And this is a strange idea for biblical Christianity. This is a strange idea of amusement to Bible characters as we read the Bible. Why don't we just stay with the Bible idea of uplifting the Lord and letting those interested in Jesus Christ come and worship? Why don't we do that? Let us be more amazed of God's goodness than amused for another hour. Why don't we do that? Why don't we, in Mark chapter 1, where we are here, Jesus Christ casts out the unclean spirit, and the Bible says they were amazed. They were amazed at what Jesus Christ had done. They were amazed at the miracle that Christ performed. They were amazed at this man Jesus and what he was doing, and they said, "What thing is this?" They were amazed at what they had seen. They were amazed at what had went on and they had witnessed, and they said, "What is this? This is different than what we're used to." Later on, we read in the Bible where they come and they say, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" But first, before you can say, "What must thou do to be saved?" There should be some things that should be able to amaze us about the Lord. And forget about amusement for a while. How about some amazement with the Lord? We should come to church to wonder in amazement at the works of God's hands. That's what we should do. There's a song written in 1980. I would say it's an old song, but that's not that old anymore, all right? Perspectives start to change as the years go by, right? The second verse of this song says, "When I imagine in glory that day, when all of heaven stood still, as God incarnate, the Savior of men died upon Calvary's hill." The chorus says, "I stand amazed. I stand amazed of the love that has sought me, saved me, and bought me. I stand amazed." That's a pretty good song. Why? Because when we think of the works of God and what He has done, we should be amazed at the Lord and say, "I would rather be in amazement with Him than to be amused." It should mean something. Coming to church should be different for you and I. Turn to Acts chapter 3 if we look at a couple passages here. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 2. Bible says this, Acts 3, verse 2, "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms, and Peter fastened his eyes on him with John and said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." Amen. They had seen the man. They recognized him for who he was as a lame man. And now they see him up and jumping around and excited and praising God. And they saw him, and in wonder and amazement, they said, "What happened to him? We knew what he was like before, and now he's not like that. How has this happened? What has happened?" They in wonder and amazement, they saw the change in this man. In Acts chapter number 9, turn a few pages over. Acts chapter 9, in verse 20. Acts chapter 9, in verse 20. This is when Saul gets saved from going after Christians and trying to imprison and kill them. He gets saved and becomes a Christian. And in verse number 20, and straightway he, this is Saul, preached Christ in the synagogues that he was the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Isn't this the same guy? Isn't this the same guy that was just coming to kill or imprison those that named the name of Christ, and now he's in the synagogues preaching that he is the Christ? They were amazed. What has changed? What has happened in Saul's life? That's what they wondered. What has been this change? This is astonishing. This is amazing. How did this happen? There's a little bit of disbelief here in what's going on. I'll tell you what happened. The Lord happened. The Lord and his greatness happened. They were amazed because the different man that Saul became. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 12, when the disciples are standing up, you don't have to turn there, but when the disciples are standing up and the Holy Spirit of God is moved to bear witness to the Jews, and they start speaking, and as they're speaking, the Bible says in other tongues, as they're speaking, everyone from around the world that were there hears these disciples speaking in their own language. And they say, and the Bible says, and they were all amazed, saying, "What meaneth this? What meaneth this?" They were amazed. You know what should happen? We should come to church to sing and to hear the preached word about the amazing things God has done in your life and others' lives. That's why we should come to church. We should come to church because we should still be amazed at God and his wonders and his works in our lives and the lives of others. We should come in amazement. And listen, when people come in the doors of this church, visitors or not, and come to see what this church is all about and come to visit because they've been invited or saw us online or whatever the case, they should be amazed that people are singing unto the Lord and lifting up their voices unto the Lord, because we're just amazed at how God is and who God is. It should be different than the world. It shouldn't be coming in and we can just look around and just be amused for a while. This should be a place where the people that come on a regular basis say, "We didn't come here for amusement. We came here because our God is amazing and because we're going to lift up our voices and we're going to sing unto the Lord and we're going to listen to the preaching and bring our Bibles and open the scriptures and follow along because we want to hear what God has for us." I mean, do you remember what it was like before you were saved? Some of you were saved when you were children, I understand. But do you remember what it was like? Maybe you were saved, but you didn't really get a hold of the scriptures, or you didn't really grow in the Lord. And then you found the scriptures, and you started to read them, and you started to grow in your life. And then you found a church. Maybe it was this one originally, maybe it was not, but you found a church that was centered on the scriptures, and you started to grow and know what it was like to be a Christian and live your life for the Lord. Do you remember that? Remember what it was like before that? If you were steeped in religion or you'd come out of something else and your heart wasn't in it and you were doing your duty. Do you remember what it was like to come and to be involved and to say, "Man, there's a church that actually wants to worship the Lord." Yeah. And, I mean, just to get out. Listen, I want to get out of the world. Amen. When I come in here on Sunday, I don't want it to be more of the world. Right. I want to get out of the world. I want to be able to come in here and just be able to have a conversation with anybody or walk by and hear a conversation and not have to like be ready to, like the language and the this and the that. It's just so grieving. Man, we can come to church and get away from all that. We can come to church and be in a place where, Lord willing, people are dressed modestly so we don't have to constantly guard our eyes. It doesn't get tired. It gets tiring out in the world. Everywhere you look, it's just, "Oh man, I don't need to be
And we should just be able to come into church and just be able to relax and exhale and say, boy, I didn't come here to get more world. I didn't come here to get more carnality. I didn't come here to get more patted on the back or made feel like I'm special. Man, I came because the Lord is special. And we come because He's amazing. The world says, no, you're amazing. You're the one that's amazing. And I'm not here to tell you you're the worst. I'm just here to say, man, when we get our eyes on the Lord, we're not so amazing. And usually the people trying to tell you you're amazing, they want you to buy something. They're trying to hook you in, right? You're so amazing, and they just want you to swallow that whole thing so they can, boop, gotcha. Yeah. Man, no ulterior motives, not coming in to say, oh, who's trying to get what and gain from me and take from me, just to come in and understand that the Lord, our Savior, the Creator of the universe, we serve an amazing God. Amen. And we should come to church with the idea of amazement instead of amusement. Amazed at how much joy God can give in our lives. And in turmoil and in uncertainty and things in life, He can give us joy. We can put our heads on our pillow and we can go through some dark valleys and clouds above us, but we can still have the joy of the Lord, knowing that He's our Savior, knowing that He's our Comforter, knowing that He is with us and walks with us. And the Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We can have joy. We can have peace in the Lord. We can have the peace that passeth all understanding, the peace that the world looks for and longs for and drinks or smokes or takes to have. And we can have it in Christ. Amen. We can have a peace and a rest in Christ to understand that He can change our hearts, or we can have a love for sinners and a love for others and a love for one another outside of our own capabilities. We can have a compassion for people and a love for people. We can be amazed at His holiness. And He never compromises His holiness. Not for the time or the year or what's the social trend or for whatever else is going on. God never compromises His holiness. He says, I'm holy and my word's holy and the things that I've established, they're holy. And we can be in amazement at God's holiness. We can be amazed at how holy God is. We can be amazed at His power, and we can be amazed at His protection in our lives. Something goes on and something happens, and we can just see that God's hand of protection on our lives and say, Lord, thank You for that. Amen. Thank You that you allowed me to avoid that, or You allowed me to not get involved in that, or Lord, you held me up, or I was there before it happened. Or Lord, thank You for that. Amen. It's His protection of His children and His miracles. His miracles might not manifest themselves in the same way as the early church did when it was a sign for the Jews, and that process was still going on. But God still works miracles. He still changes hearts. And some of your hearts were changed. And anyone that knew you before said, that's a miracle. That has to be a miracle. Why? Because you were who you were. And then all of a sudden you became somebody different because of the grace of God and the love of God on your life. And what was that? That was a miracle of God. And God doesn't answer every prayer that we ever have in some miraculous way. And we don't always understand. And we won't until we get to heaven with health concerns and everything else. We say, God, just do a miracle and we'll give You the credit. Just heal and take away and make easier. And we don't always understand why God allows things that He allows. But He's still a miracle worker for sure. We can be amazed at the purpose that we can have in life because of God. Because of what it's not just running the rat race to try to make as much money so that we can be as amused as much as we possibly can, whether we provide it for ourselves or have others. And we can just the whole climb the ladder or make this or be a somebody or do this other thing or buy this much stuff. No, we can have a purpose in Christ. We can have a purpose to serve the Lord and be His servant. We can just go outside and I've liked it since I was in high school, and I used to hike around the Appalachian Trail and go up on we're about 11 miles from the top of a small hill. I wouldn't say that back east, the mountains, but here there are hills, all right? I look past I look past higher elevation here to see Rainier from my house than I climbed when I was in Pennsylvania. Okay, whatever. But I've always liked to do that, and coming out here, it's been great to be able to do that in a bigger scale. And boy, just to be able to get up on a hill somewhere or climb up on some little peak somewhere and be able to look out, we can just be amazed at God's creation. On a beautiful day like today, if you head south on Highway 5 and you're going to see what looks like it's 12 miles wide and you're looking there at St. Helens, listen, you might be used to that view. I'm still not over it, all right? So let me enjoy it, okay? And you look at it and you say, man, this is God's creation and this is what God has done. And the beautiful places that we have access to here in the Pacific Northwest, or if you travel and you go other places and you see just the difference. I don't want to live in the desert, but it has its own beauty. And God just created this world and all of creation, and we can be amazed at that. We can just be amazed and say, man, my God did that. And he did that not for us to say, well, I think this is how it happened billions of years ago. But he did that so we can look out at God's creation and say, man, there's something had to build all this. This wasn't an accident. It's to draw ourselves to him, draw us to him. Be amazed at his knowledge. We can be amazed at his wisdom. And all those things manifest itself in the word of God. And that should be the purpose. We can be amazed at the things of God. And along that same line, but a little bit of a different thought here as well this morning. Church should exhort and not entertain. Church should exhort. The church's purpose should be to come and exhort Christians and not just to have an entertainment program. Not just to have something so that we can have more entertainment. All right, listen, outside of the walls of this building, in the liberty that you have in Christ, for things that are clean and things that are still, not wrong, there's access to entertainment 24/7. And people are addicted to it. It's just constant this. I have a free moment. I need to be entertained. I need to have someone else stimulate my mind every second that something's not happening. I mean, that's where we are with phones now. That's where we are with everything else. It's just constant access to amusement and to entertainment. And when we come into here, you know what we say? Turn the phones off. Right? We don't really say that. We say, can you please silence your phones? Because it's annoying when they go off. I know I run the risk of the next 20 minutes of someone's phone going off, but that's your fault. Right? But that's how we say it. Can you please just turn those off so there's less distractions and so we don't, you don't have all the things coming in. Ooh, I got a text from somebody. Wonder if it's important. You're not that important. God's important. All right, we can just calm down a little bit, right? If it's just for, I'm not preaching on, phone addiction. I guess I am. It's not in the notes. Phone addiction. Nope, not in the notes. But man, we should be able to come apart and just put that stuff to the side and just say, man, I need some exhortation, not more entertainment. Luke chapter number 3 and verse 18. Jesus says, and many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. Amen. That's what happened. Jesus was exhorting and he was preaching unto the people. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 15, Paul's in the synagogue at Antioch of Pisidia, and he says, brethren, they say this to Paul, brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Amen. That's what they say. Paul comes in and those traveling with him, and he's in the synagogue, and they get up, and they do their thing in the synagogue, and they say, hey, Paul, if you and your brother have any exhortation to give us about what the Lord's been doing, then say on. We're not ready to go to lunch yet. Just say on. Tell us about it. Exhort us about the Lord. I need to pause here and just thank you for being a congregation that allows me or any other preacher to stand behind this pulpit and to preach. And to exhort from the Word of God. I thank you for that. You've been trained well before I got here. There's an understanding that every personality that stands behind the pulpit, whether it's in missions conference or November or missionaries come through or speakers come through and preach, that it's not all about the personality. Whether they're exciting or whether they're entertaining or whether they tell funny stories or their delivery or how organized the outline is. It's not all, it's just about God using individuals to exhort and to preach the word of God and say, Lord, give me something from your word. Amen. It's a blessing. It's a freedom to be able to stand in front of this church and to be able to get up and preach the word of God and not have the expectation of, well, what kind of jokes is he going to tell today? Well, sometimes they're funny and sometimes I get booed. Well, it's all right. You know, I got each joke for each person. All right? You got different kinds. But we should come to church looking for exhortation, not looking for entertainment. The reason I said the men's impromptu special worked so well is because this is in my notes. The singers and the instrumentalists who stand and use their talents to lift up the Lord shouldn't have to fear the standard of professionalism. But that's creeping into churches. We only have a select few, and they have to have the most talent, and they have to be the ones that can stand up in front of everybody else, and we will be the ones that lead in all of the worship. And if you want to join along, you can feel free, but we're going to be the ones to do it. And you know what happens? It becomes a us versus them mentality. It becomes, well, it's the platform versus the pews. Or it's the preacher versus the lay people. Right? Watch this. Lay person. Maybe preacher. It's not a us versus them mentality. Listen, church is not for the platform only and not for the floor. That's not what church is. Church is a place where saved sinners come with different talents and different callings and different abilities to come and lift up the Lord. To lift up the Lord together. To praise the Savior. That's why we still have congregational singing, because it allows you to participate and allows you, after a week that might have been difficult or frustrating or whatever happened, you can come in and you can open up those and you can say, standing on the promises, right? And say, God does have some promises for me. And we can lift up our voices and rejoice in that. And yes, there's a time for practice and there's a time for trying to be a blessing and there's a time for using the talents that God has given us. But the impromptu men's today was just some men that said, I'm willing to stand up and try to direct everyone else's attention unto the Lord. And we can stand and we can just sing about the Lord and lift up his praises. It might not have sounded the best. I heard some of it. It didn't sound the best. I was a part of it. But you know what it is? It's to lift up our voices unto the Lord. It's like, well, I'm not going to sing because I don't sound like the professionals. Let's pause here for a moment, because I am a music guy, right? You can trust nothing that you hear anymore. Yeah. Nothing. Right. So when you see the clips and you watch all the stuff and you hear stuff, you know what that is? That is people with voices that digitally are corrected to sound perfect in every way. And you know what the human voice is not? Perfect in every way. And so we get so used to just consuming professionalism that A, people won't stand up and glorify the Lord when the Lord has given them talent to sing and they should use it unto the Lord. They won't do it because, well, I'm not a professional. Or, well, we don't really like how that went. We don't like that music because it just doesn't sound professional enough. Well, I'm sorry. We're not aiming for professionalism. We're aiming for lifting up the Lord. We're aiming to come in together and rejoice in God and to be exhorted by the sermon and the special music so that we can lift up the Lord in our hearts and with our voices. The Bible says nothing at all about entertaining Christians. So that as long as we can entertain, then they'll put their tip in the offering and then we can build bigger barns, to use a biblical example. That's not a biblical way of doing anything. That wasn't the biblical goal of doing anything in the scriptures. The Bible does say this. It says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. Paul says this. He says, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. Our exhortation of Christ and the gospel. He says, we didn't do it in these ways to trick you into something. We did it in openness. And it was an exhortation. And it was the gospel first. Acts chapter 27, the Bible says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Exhort you to be of good cheer. We can do that. Paul says, I think myself happy. He was in bondage, by the way. He was imprisoned at that time. He said, you know what? I think myself happy that I'm able to answer for myself. We can have some joy, and you can be exhorted to have some good cheer. Why? Because we serve an amazing God. Amen. We have an amazing Savior. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. We exhort you. We urge you on. We are to exhort the young men to be sober-minded in Titus. In Jude verse 3, it says, exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. The exhortation, and hey, we have a purpose to serve the Lord, and stop doing what you want to do and do what God wants you to do. Amen. As a Christian, and find the peace and joy and happiness in that. Hebrews chapter 3 says, we're to exhort one another daily. That's what we're to do as Christians. Exhort one another daily. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Are we getting closer to the Lord's return? Absolutely we are. We're getting closer to the Lord coming back. You know what we're supposed to do? Gather together and exhort one another. We need to be getting together more as the day approaches, not less and less. Not canceling all of our church services because people are too lazy to come. But no, keep going on and do more together as the Lord's coming back and as the day is approaching. Do you get it? We should come to church to be amazed at the Savior, not amused by the speaker. We should come to church to be exhorted from the Word of God and by His book, and not be entertained by the brethren. We should come to church and we should lift up the Lord as the centerpiece of what we're doing and what's going on. And we should praise Him, and we should think on Him, and we should draw ourselves out of the world and come. You know, the word church, it has a Greek background. It means a called out assembly. That's what it means. You know what happened this morning? You, in all of the options of things you could have done this morning, and they were all available to you, you decided to draw yourself out from all of that and to bring yourself into this, where hopefully the Lord could be lifted up and you could be encouraged or maybe rebuked a little. The Lord can do that in a multitude of ways. A place where we can come together and see others that have come to this church and said, boy, we want to lift up the Lord this morning. And I'm going to get myself away from all the rest of the stuff and come and lift up God and lift up the Savior and lift up His Word. You decided to do that this morning. Thank you for doing that. Honestly, really, thank you for doing that. Thank you, church, for loving the Lord and for loving the Bible and for loving missions and for understanding that there are a multitude of places you could have went this morning around the same time, and they could have talked about Jesus and you could have been well entertained. But that's not the goal. The goal is not entertainment. The goal is not amusement. The goal is to lift up the Lord and to be exhorted about how good God is. As I've heard several preachers say, we want to keep the main thing the main thing. That's what we want to do. We want to keep the main thing the main thing. And let whoever else is going to do whatever else, let them do their thing. Let them have fun. Man, when we come in here and draw ourselves together, let's keep our focus on the Lord. Let's keep our focus on His salvation and what He saved us from and the life that we could be in if we weren't trying to live for the Lord and the headaches and the problems that we could have gotten ourselves into, but for God and for His grace and His mercy. And let's keep that in mind and let's go forward for Christ. And summertime's upon us. There's going to be all kinds of things and vacations coming up and all kinds of temptations and stuff to kind of just hide and get away. And, you know, the sun's going to be out semi-permanently, you know, for the next few months. And boy, it's easy to just get busy and forget about church and forget about the things of the Lord. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Remember who God is and what He is in your life and what He should be in our lives. And we can come together and we can lift Him up and thank God for it. This isn't a rebuke to you as a church. This is saying let's keep in focus what should be in focus. Let's not let the world and those chasing after the world, let's not them take our minds and put us in a different direction and get us in a place where it's just more about us. I mean, it can be more about you a lot. I'd venture to say it is about you a lot. It should be more about Him. And this is a place where we can come and still smile at one another. We can still love each other. Sometimes I preach nice messages. And we can still love to love God. We can still do that and enjoy it and have a good time. We can still laugh at ourselves and we can still laugh and have a good time. That's not stricken from, you know, serving God. But let's keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. And keep enjoying the Lord and His blessings to us.